Hallelujah. We're going to go right to the word of the Lord this morning. We're going to go into the book of John. John chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And finally, verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Open our hearts, open our minds. Let us be sensitive to your spirit this morning. Touch each and every family represented here today. Lord, help us to lay down the spirit of heaviness and pick up the garments of praise. We come to magnify you in spirit and in truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. As you're seated this morning, bump your neighbor and tell them, do you see the light? Now, that is not my title. I want to talk this morning for just a little while about walking blind. Walking blind. Has anybody here ever had temporary loss of vision, or you've been in a dark place where you couldn't see? Maybe it was the middle of nowhere. There was no light anywhere. Maybe in the woods. I've been in the woods before and got caught and my battery went out on my flashlight and no stars, no moon, no nothing. It's scary. Walking blind. Jesus is the light who's being described here in our text this morning. We're told that Christ is the light of the world, that all men through him might believe. Yet we then read, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, the scriptures say. Unbelief has always grieved the heart of Jesus. Unbelief. When our Lord came to earth in the flesh, he brought an incredible light to the world. And that light was meant to open the eyes of men and women across the world. Scripture speaks of incredible examples of unbelief in the very face of such light. And we find in John 12 the story of one of these incidents that is contained there in the Scriptures. Jesus was at Bethany and having supper in the home of Lazarus. Anybody remember the story of Lazarus? Lazarus come forth. He's there with Lazarus and good old Lazarus and Martha and Mary. And Jesus had already performed the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. The miracle had already happened. And now people were curious of this man called Jesus. They wanted to come take a tour. Who is this man? This cat was dead. Now he's alive. And they're eating supper. What's going on? So, you know, they say curiosity killed the cat, but people were curious. So they begin to come by, and they want to see Jesus. And at the time, the crowds were passing through town, and they're on their way to the Passover in Jerusalem, and this feast that is fixing to take place. And they wanted a glimpse of the man that being called the Messiah, this prophet man that they had heard about, and he had resurrected this guy called Lazarus. And in the same chapter, we find these same people waving palms and singing hosannas to Jesus as he enters Jerusalem on another day. And they were seeing the fulfillment of prophecy. They were seeing what they had heard all of their lives come to pass. Zechariah 9 and 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Finally, in the same chapter, we're told a voice came thundering from heaven. John 12 and 30, Jesus turned to the amazed crowd and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now, if I hear a voice come thundering from heaven, I'm going to stop and pay attention.
Hello? Yeah, I'm here. I've often wondered how ants feel if they could actually hear us. You go to a mound of ants and it's like their whole little world is right there. Just a thought. Little sidetrack there. Perhaps no other chapter in the Bible contains proof of Jesus' deity as we see here in John chapter 12. We see a man who had been raised from the dead by Jesus' command. We see visual fulfillment of a centuries-old prophecy known to every Israelite. We hear a literal voice booming and speaking from heaven. Each of these things happened before a huge throng of religious people, of saints, if you will. They were witnesses to all of this. God had forgiven these, he had given these people his law, his covenant, his promises. They understood the laws and they understood the promises and the things that had been prophesied before. Yet even after witnessing all of these wonders in this chapter, the people had the audacity to question Jesus. The people answered him in John 12 and 34, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up?" What they were saying is, you claim you're going to be crucified, but we know the true Messiah is going to live forever. There was unbelief. They were doubting. After all of this miracle, I mean, if I see a guy raise a dude up from the dead just by, "Hey, come forth," I'm going to pay attention. And then I hear a voice from heaven. It's going to get my attention. It's going to rattle my cage. I don't think my first sentence out is going to be, "The Son of Man must be lifted up. What are you talking about? The Messiah is going to live forever." See, they didn't want a carpenter king to come and die and be crucified. They wanted a raging warrior king to come and just wipe out all of their enemies. Ah, look at us now. But that's not how God chose to do it. The people asked a question that absolutely stunned Jesus. Who is the Son of Man? He didn't even attempt to answer the question. Instead, he warned them. Verse 35, "Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. While ye have light, believe in the light." You can see me. You can hear me. You're witnesses to these wonderful miracles. Why are you doubting? We have to consider the seriousness of Jesus' statement here. He had revealed to these people his strong arm. He had performed miracles before them. He had given a good report, prophesied by watchmen from Zechariah to Isaiah in the scriptures, yet they still did not believe in him. The light had shone into their darkness, but their darkened minds didn't comprehend and didn't see it. The Greek word for comprehend means to seize it, to lay hold of it, to possess the truth producing life and power. These people had been given the very life-changing truth, but they didn't seize it. They didn't lay hold of it. They didn't get a hold of it and grasp it and just, "I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm not." Can I tell somebody this morning, you got to get a hold of this truth. You got to get a hold of this beautiful word, and you got to hold on to it. And sometimes a doubt will come in, and fear will come in, and frustration will come in, but you got to hold on. Hold on to the word of God and the things of God and the promises of God, because He's going to see you through. Chapter 12, verse 36, "These things spake Jesus and departed." See, they didn't understand the truth of God because they didn't seek to possess it. You can't just hear it. You got to get a hold of it and apply it and possess it. It's a relationship thing. Verse 36, "These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them." In this one verse, we find God's attitude towards unbelief. Walking blind is what we're talking about. Walking blind. Indeed, from cover to cover in the Bible, God never has sympathy or pity for unbelief. He doesn't like it. And the same is true on this scene of our story. Jesus simply walked away from the unbelieving crowds. And as a result, those people would leave Jerusalem in darkness. And they would just stay in the same old rut they were in because they didn't walk into the light they'd been exposed to and they'd been given. There was no more hope of light for them because of their unbelief. John 12:35, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Darkness here means spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness. We're talking about walking blind. Spiritual blindness. Confusion, loss of clarity, gloom. Day by day, a cloud of uncertainty would settle over these people and confusion would influence their everyday affairs, and eventually it would totally envelop them and control them, and the end of would be a heart of darkness. Just doing the same old thing. Going through the same old motions. When I read this awesome warning of Jesus, the Holy Ghost stirred me, and as I was studying it, at first I wondered, darkness on a people who love Jesus? I didn't get it. I was confused. And darkness on people who pray? These people were religious. They knew the script. They knew the prophecies. They knew the law. They attended the Passover. They did what they were supposed to do in church. They were good saints. They pray, they study His Word. How can such people be in darkness? And how could this darkness come upon these people that were of God? The very children of God. I readily admit, I personally have been flooded with the light of Jesus in my life. And my years of ministry, I've witnessed the Lord's power of resurrecting and raising the spiritually dead and people who have been lost and in darkness. I've seen many, many Lazaruses walk out of the tombs of drug addictions and alcoholism and things that have their lives under control and things that have held them back from reaching their full potential. I've had a lifetime of watching the walking dead come alive through the resurrecting power and the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ. I've seen many rays of light from a life of God that God has put into people, and the light just kind of turns on. That's why I love training bird dogs or labs. You can see when they get it and they figure it out, sit, hear, heal. You can get them whistle trained where you can blow a whistle and they'll stop, and you can quarter them. You can make them move in any direction. When that light bulb comes on in their mind, it's rewarding. It feels good. They got it. It's the same with the saint of God. When they get it, I've got to be full of the Holy Ghost. I've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus, buried in His blood. I've got to be a new creature. I've got to have a renewing of my mind. It's rewarding. It's exciting. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. In a sense, you and I have witnessed everything John 12 describes, and much more as well. Indeed, God has revealed to His people today what the eyes of those Jews couldn't see. They were in the Old Testament. We know not just from Scripture, but by experience, that God has prepared great things for those who love Him. We've been given a New Testament and instructed. It has instructed us in this. We've been given the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues to teach us. And likewise, we have better promises so we can become partakers of His divine nature. We've also been given anointed teachers and pastors and evangelists to flood our hearts and our minds with light. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that Marshall Baggett is my pastor and that he brings the Word of God and truth, and it fills us with glory promises and reminds us of God's faithfulness to deliver us and to help us and to see us through. I'm glad to know when I sit there and I listen to the Word of God coming forth, I know it's truth. It's not watered down. It might not always be what I want to hear, but it's what I need to hear. It's the true living Word of God. I'm thankful for my pastor. I ask you, with all of these wonderful blessings this morning, how could we possibly have clouds of darkness over us? Usually we think of spiritual darkness. Just think with me. We think of spiritual darkness. We think of atheists, people who don't believe in God, people who don't attend church regularly. You know, they'll go on Easter or they'll go on a wedding or a burial. They'll show up to church, but any other time, they're not there. Or we think of jaded, saturated, sin-filled people who are living in a life of sorrow and emptiness and, well, you know, they just don't have it together. Admit it or not, that's what most Christians think. It's true that sin is the land of darkness. And the devil is the prince of that darkness. That's true. The Apostle Paul speaks of the unfruitful works of darkness. But that isn't the kind of darkness Jesus describes here in John 12. No, this darkness is a cloud of confusion, of spiritual blindness, indecision, a gloom of spirit and mind. And it comes upon believers. That's the darkness I'm talking about. Note that Jesus doesn't aim this warning at unbelieving people or non-believers. He speaks it to the holy brethren. He's talking about a darkened state that comes upon Christians who refuse to mix the word they have heard with faith and to apply it to their lives. Oh, good message, preacher. And then we continue to do exactly what we've always done. If you continue to do the exact same thing you've always done, you'll keep getting the same result. Put God into the equation and let God begin to work on your behalf. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not second, not third. I have seen mature believers who for years sat under pure gospel preaching, but now they doubt themselves. Well, is what I believe necessary? I know preachers right now who have doubted themselves and who are not living for God or in truth anymore because they've allowed the devil to creep in. Is that really necessary? You don't sense the joy of the Lord you once did. So now you wonder if the Lord has a problem with you. This is the darkness that Jesus warned would come upon us if we don't seize and walk in the light we have received. Walk in newness of life. Let me ask you, do you trust God's promises this morning? Do you trust the Word of God? Yeah. Do you embrace His Word? Yeah. Do you go on the offensive against Satan with the word that you've heard preached? Or do you ignore the Lord's past faithfulness to you or I? Do you not trust that He stands with you in control of everything pertaining to your life? I can tell you this year I've been shaken, but I'm standing with the Word of God. I'm standing with the promises of God. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging for bread. It doesn't matter what people say about you or think about you. You know the truth and you have the truth, and the truth will set you free. Walking in blindness. Jesus describes a person who lives in darkness, saying in John 12 and 35, "He that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." In other words, such a person has lost his way. His steps are confused. He's indecisive. He walks in blindness. Now, I have a couple of brothers that I'm going to have help me this morning. One has a medication and health issue this morning. Brother Terry, come help me. I'm praying that God heals you. I really am. Hey, you gotta turn around for me, bud. Okay, hold your hands up. Hold that. Can you see? No? Good. Good, 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 good. Now, walking in blind. You ever walk blind, buddy? You've been in the dark before? Okay, is that too tight? Is that too tight? Okay, can you see? Okay. It's not pinata time. Oh, don't get sick. That ain't fun. Hey, sweetie. She's wondering, what are you doing? All right, just take off running down there. Just walk. Be careful. Don't fall. Just feel your way and walk. I need another volunteer. Brother Dennis, how are you, sir? Could you help me? Take off walking around here. Just walk around the pews. I need one more volunteer. Brother Monso, can you take your glasses off for me? Thank you, sir. I'm here to tell y'all that clock right there is wrong. That's why I have my phone out. Hold that right there. It's about 5 minutes slow. But we are on time. Because he's an on time God. Yes, he is. Is that too tight? Can you see? Can you see? No? Good. Good. Don't hurt yourself. You got a beautiful baby daughter. Take care. You just take off walking around. I need you to walk around sanctuary. Brother Terry, keep walking around sanctuary for him, please. Brother Dennis, just make your way up and down the aisles. Now, we have three wonderful saints of God here this morning walking. Bunch of us sitting, but three of us are walking. Don't y'all cheat and use the wall. Bunch of cheating heathens. We're talking about walking blind. Walking blind. And then you have good brothers that pick on you. Thank you, Brother Ken. I'd bite him. Keep walking, Brother Terry. Walking blind. Think, I want you to get this in your mind. I want you to understand. These are all three great men. These men all live for God. They come to church. Brother Monso helps upstairs with gravity. Brother Terry sings and speaks. Brother Dennis opens doors, helps around the church. Anything that you need, they do the back. Him and his wife helping Brother Charlie and Sister Liz. These are good people. Walk back up front. Don't sit down. Don't get lazy on me. Brother Terry, come back up front where they can see. They can't see you back there. Don't matter if you can see them. Follow the sound of my voice. It's everywhere. The prophet Isaiah describes just such a people. The Israelites had magnified God's law and made it honorable. But they didn't appropriate. They didn't apply what they knew of it. And God said to them in Isaiah 42, "Hear, ye deaf, and look, ye blind, that ye may see who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent. Who is blind as he that is perfect? The blind as the Lord's servant, seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake." Keep walking, Brother Terry. Walk by faith. Just take off. You're going the wrong way. Come back forward. Walk across the front. Take off running. Just high step it. Knees in the air. There you go. Let go of the wall. Hallelujah. You know, I have to say, Brother Baggett did this to me one service. I was scared to death. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move. I didn't know where I was. It's kind of scary. Walking blind. The truth is, folks, God has no pity for unbelief. He has no pity for unbelief. He's grieved by it. He expects us to walk in the light. We're to trust in His Word and to lay hold of His promises. Keep walking, Brother Terry. You're bugging me. It's when we come back to our knowledge of the Word, to the conviction of the Holy Ghost, to we exit this darkness that we're walking in. Brother Monso, are you full of the Holy Ghost? Brother Monso. Brother Andrew, are you full of the Holy Ghost? He went deaf too. Hallelujah. We need to pray for him. Do you got the Holy Ghost? Yeah, I'm talking to you. Are you listening? You can't hear? Okay. You take off your, here you go. Ooh, thank you, Lord. I put a bow in that. You can be seated. Brother Dennis, you can be seated. Thank you. Brother Terry, keep walking, buddy. We just had a blind and deaf man healed. You just take off the little thing. Hallelujah. God is good. You heard him, didn't you? He said, I can't hear. He can hear now. You talking to me? Yeah. Got the Holy Ghost. Walking blind. Walking blind. A deep darkness comes over people who focus on their own weaknesses, their own sorrows, their own shortcomings, their own failings. Keep walking, Brother Terry. Do you know Christians who always complain about how stupid or inadequate they feel? They constantly battle themselves and put themselves down, and they're never good enough. And I just can't live like he does or she does. I just can't seem to get it right. You're walking blind. You're walking blind. You remember the Old Testament story of the Israelite spy sent out to the promised land. Yes, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, but it's also full of giants and great walled up cities. And we're not able to go up against this people. And it compared them to grasshoppers is what they did. They were insignificant. We're small. We're just grasshoppers. These men, they didn't come back and accuse God. They never said God isn't able. He isn't strong enough. They dared not voice such unbelief. But what they did focus on, they focused on themselves, and they said, we're not able. We're just too small. We're grasshoppers. We're nobodies. We're like little bugs to the enemies that are there. Yet that isn't humility or innocent talk or harmless talk. Whether it was an insult to the light of the world, this light commands us to believe, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror. I am victorious. I am somebody. I can worship in spirit and truth. I can live for God. I can let the chains of darkness come off of my life and be set free. And now take a lap around. Victory lap. You made it. Hallelujah. You survived. Another blind man healed this morning. Thank you, Jesus. You see, when you complain about your inabilities and your shortcomings and your weaknesses, you're not putting yourself down. You're putting down your Lord. How, Brother Chris? You're refusing to believe or walk in His Word. And that brings darkness. The Israelite spies were so focused on their inabilities that they were ready to quit. They even talked about going back to Egypt. What was God's response to their fears and unbelief? Numbers 14 and 11, the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere that they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? God charged them with one sin, unbelief. Unbelief. And they wandered for 40 years. And that whole generation died in a wilderness of unbelief. Walking blind. Today the Lord is asking His people the same question He asked Israel. When will you believe what I've promised you? When will you take hold of the promises that I've given you? When will you just hold on to faith and just believe that you're going to make it? That you can do all things through Christ. Let Christ strengthen you. You're not to rely on the strength of your flesh. Rely on the Spirit. Rely on the things from above. He's told us that He'll pick us up. He'll take us through. He uses the weak, the poor, the despised, the world to confound the wise. He's saying, I am Jehovah, everlasting strength and hope. And I'll make you strong through my might and by my Spirit. So when are you going to act on this? When are you going to begin to apply these promises to your life? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Repent, be ye baptized in the name of Jesus, and receive ye the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God's temper and anger gets flustered and frustrated. He gets upset when people don't walk in the light of His covenant, His promises. Hallelujah. We read in Hebrews, harden not your hearts. It's a provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with the generations and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Can you imagine this whole generation of people, this whole generation, millions, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of them. They witnessed and they experienced walking through the Red Sea. They witnessed the plagues in Egypt. Miracle after miracle after miracle. Food in the morning. Water. Provision. And they still had unbelief. What reason is given for why God and His people, God's people, were unable to enter into rest? Was it because of adultery or covetousness or frustration or drunkenness? No, it was because of unbelief. If you don't believe that God is God, this right here will never work for you. You've got to first believe. You've got to take the blinders off and begin to experience the realness of who Jesus is. Your neighbor sitting beside you might not be at the depth of experience or relationship that you are. Let's not kill them. They might still be on milk like this little baby right here. But I guarantee you, Papa and Mama can eat a T-bone steak right now. But you force feed that baby T-bone steak and it's going to probably damage and hurt and kill. Apply the Word of God. Get a hold of what the Scripture says. Get plugged into the things of God. He will see you through. I have a whole lot more notes than I have time. There will not be a part two. There never is. God has a sense of humor. Repent. Be baptized. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. How are you going to get out of blindness? How are you going to get out of confusion, frustration, fear, doubt, unbelief? The Word of God, the things of God. If you don't understand what's in this book, ask God, God, reveal your Word to me. Reveal this light to me more. I want an understanding. I want a revelation of who you are. I want the promises of God in this book to be applied to my life. Jesus, bless us today. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for our time together. I ask that you anoint each and every family here. Lord, we've come to worship you in spirit and in truth this morning. We're asking you, Lord, to reveal that light to each and every one of us on a personal, personal level, that we could understand what we must do to be saved. Take all unbelief, take all fear from us. In the name of Jesus, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Leave our homes alone. Leave our families alone. Leave our children alone. Anoint us, O God. Put a hedge about us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you this morning. We'll take about a 10-minute break, 15-minute break, come back and worship.